All right, so the Raptors with a big win last night. Josh Lewenberg's been tweeting about this. Pascal Siakam putting up big numbers. His last eight games, averaging 22 points, 7.5 rebounds, 3.3 assists, shooting 49% from the field, 36% from three, getting a lot of field goal or free throw attempts, getting to the line a fair amount.
That's kind of his gig, isn't it?
That's it. And Josh compared it to his All-Star season, All-NBA season back in 1920, and it was about the same line. That's what we've been waiting for. That's what we've been looking for.
I asked Matty D that last week. I was like, where is that and how far away is it? Maybe it's right now.
Well, that's what you're hoping, right? Now, if it stays consistent, you bring Anunoby back into the fold, maybe you can be a team that hovers around 500 and punches a ticket into a wild card game. That's what you're hoping for at this point in Toronto. And
yeah, you can hope for that, Hayes. I got to be honest, that doesn't excite me that much.
It's not about excitement, but it's about growth. I think that's basically what you're hoping for here. Here's ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. Should there be excitement around that, Bobby? I mean, we're relatively new into this whole wild card era, only started last year. Is that something people should be happily pursuing as a wild card slot right now in the East or West?
I think if you have an opportunity to get, guys like, Scotty Barnes into a play-in type tournament, and I know it's different than what you've experienced, a few years ago. I think the more experienced, the better. When you're playing games in March and April, that actually means something. And you guys saw last year when you were just playing out the string. I think it does help from a roster standpoint. And I think they will stay around 500 probably for most of this year. The East is a lot better, but I think certainly their Achilles is at the bench. I think, what you can get out of the bench, last night I thought that was their best first quarter, I think, from a team standpoint that we've seen in a long time. And mm-hmm. I think you have your core, your core five guys, certainly with OG when he gets back, I think that's can compete with teams in the Eastern Conference here. But I think it's, your bench is a little bit of an Achilles. And I think you will probably hover around, 500 for most of the season.
Bobby, in saying that, I think the fan base in Toronto, they have this idea of Masai Ujiri where he is going to be a miracle worker like he was in the past when he pulled the trigger on the Kawhi deal. And they're saying to themselves, he's not going to put up with this that much longer, and he's going to do that again. Is that like years down the road? And I think with the extension with Masai making big money and being here, they're like, he's going to do it again, and he's going to get us over the top. How do you think Masai just handles sitting and watching this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably an element of patience to it. I think, the Kawhi deal came about, where basically you guys, Toronto couldn't get over the top. It's years of getting, 6 years to the playoffs, 5 years to the playoffs, but just couldn't get past an Eastern Conference, Eastern Conference finals here. And we're in year two, right? Is this year two post year two? I guess year two,
yeah.
Or year three. Year
three,
Kawhi. So I don't think we're at that point where, Masai is going to wake up one morning and be like, I can't do this rebuilding, or I don't want to call it rebuilding, retooling. And I'm ready to move, three first round draft picks to go out and get that next disgruntled guy. I think a lot of it's just about timing here. And I don't think we're kind of at that point yet, but I think if we're a year from now or 2 years from now and we're basically just kind of treading water, I do think then you do look to maybe become a little bit more aggressive.
With Bobby Marks of ESPN, I'm just seeing breaking news here. DeMar DeRozan has entered COVID-19 mm-hmm. health and safety protocols.
God, you scared the hell out of me, man. Breaking news, DeMar, I was like, oh, don't do it. Don't say something really bad.
Well, he's been so good.
I think we're going to see a lot more names, too, guys. I really do. I think they're testing daily now, post-Thanksgiving. I think you saw me. Ish Smith just got put in, the who plays in Charlotte. He mm-hmm. played last night, right? So he plays against Atlanta. I think we have 98% of guys who have been vaccinated here, but I do think we'll see a lot more names coming out just based on the more you test, the more that more names are going to be coming out.
Yeah, well, and LeBron, obviously, I mean, there's no bigger fish than LeBron, yet
he's pissed.
Well, he quickly tests negative, and then he gets back in. I think he should be somewhat happy. I understand it was a blip in the radar, but it's not like he ended up missing 10 days or 12 right, days.
He was pissed about the inconvenience. He was like, I had to get everyone out of my house.
I don't think people do it on purpose.
Yeah.
I don't think they... Hey, it happens. We've seen it before. We've seen false negatives before. It, just, it happened, right?
Right.
He was just... nobody's trying to keep him in the house for 2 weeks. You know, people... Hey, my network wants to see him on TV, right?
No kidding.
We had to move a game to put... you know, we put Phoenix Golden State instead of the Lakers because he was not playing.
There you go. I'm pretty sure LeBron's aware of his status in the league and the importance and how there's no conspiracy to keep him, you know, off the court, especially considering the injuries. But, yeah, it's too bad with DeMar. I mean, hopefully this is a false positive. That's the world we live in. If it's not, he could miss an extended period of time. And you look at his stats, and specifically in the fourth quarter, Chicago clearly is for real. They're going to be a playoff team, and I think it's going to be, you know, there's three or four teams I see in the East as teams that are going to kind of run away with it. Brooklyn, Miami, Milwaukee, and I think Chicago might be able to keep pace. But what, is he a legitimate MVP candidate, DeMar DeRozan? If this stays consistent, what are we talking about with DeMar and his status league-wide by the end of the year?
Yeah, he is. You know, I don't want to give Tim Bontemps article away, but he does this straw poll every year of MVP candidates, and he asked me for my top five, and DeMar is on there. I think I have my number four. I went three or four up there. He's been awesome. I mean, you watched the game Saturday night against Brooklyn. Like, if you asked me, if you want DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine or Kevin Durant and James Harden, who would you pick? And, man, that would be a tough call. I mean, those two guys, they basically can get whatever they want, and you know, DeMar right now is in such a groove where he's playing like an MVP, and you know, good for him. I think he probably went a lot unnoticed in San Antonio based on such a young team there. Them, you know, not really competing for a playoff spot, but he is. Yeah, he's playing at an MVP type level right now.
With Bobby Marks of ESPN, so Damian Lillard has decided to come out and suggest that he'd like to see Ben Simmons play in Portland. And I don't know how I'm supposed to react if I'm in Portland. For starters, they're already dealing with turmoil and turnover in the front office. Damian Lillard has, at one point, he's 100% committed to Portland. Then it's like, I don't know if I want to be here. This, to me, would be terrifying. And this would land on the owner's desk, I would think.
They'd go get him, and then he'd want out, Hayes.
But that, I guess that's what I'm asking, Bobby. Like, how are you supposed to respond when Damian Lillard is basically telling you, go get me this guy, but you don't know if Dame's going to want to be there in a year or two?
Well, and then is Joe Cronin, who's their interim GM, does he have authority to go out and do a deal? Or does the next hire, are they basically back-channeling the information to that next hire? I would think Lillard would have to sign off on any type of deal, a Simmons-type deal, if it's C.J. McCollum, and certainly a lot of other things would have to be involved. I said it on Friday, and I think I got hate mail from Portland fans, is I'd look at moving Damian Lillard. I really would. I think for the best of the organization, for the best of Lillard, I would look to move Damian Lillard and basically take that contract and break it up and maybe even get three players and draft picks, and you just start from scratch. I just think whoever they go out and get, whatever they turn C.J. McCollum in or Jusuf Nurkić or Robert Covington, I just see this team as pretty vanilla. I don't see – there's not really a base or an infrastructure of younger players here. And – yeah, it'll be interesting if they don't and Lillard wants to stay. You know, do you offer him that 2 years, $107 million extension in the offseason where basically he's making him be making $55 million in the last year? And you guys know, you've seen contracts. You saw John Wall with that monster contract. Russell Westbrook, guys like that, they become untradeable. It's basically dead weight. And my big concern with Lillard, and I see he's still, I think, a top 10 player, is that, man, there is a lot of mileage on those legs. I mean, he's played 35-plus minutes every year since he's come into the league in 2012. And eventually, you start to break down. I mean, look at James Harden in Brooklyn. I don't know if we're ever going to see the James Harden that we saw in Houston before. And it's not the change in rules of the foul calls. It's Harden not being able to get to his spots, not being able to kind of beat his defenders one-on-one here, where now – he's basically a de facto point guard where the scoring will come here and there, but, you know, he's not going to give you 28 to 30 points consistently every night.
Bobby, there are some picks circulating of Zion, and to say that they're not flattering is an understatement. I mean, We're talking not close to a professional athlete, and trust me when I say this, I know what that means. Does this guy have to spend 3 years in a steam room before he can get to game action, or what are they going to do with this cat?
When you're I don't even know what his weight is, 280 plus, maybe even higher, and you're dealing with a foot issue. I mean, I think that a lot of it has to do with why he's not on the court, and there's been setbacks here, and with soreness, certainly I don't know when we'll see him on the court. Will it be Christmas? Will it be Jan 1? And it's just the whole thing. Yeah, I just wish New Orleans would have been up front to begin with in the off season, when they came into training camp and basically said, he basically poo-pooed it. He had foot surgery, and yeah, you guys are going to make a big deal about it, but we'll see him back for the first game of the season. And we're December 6th, right? I mean, and we're still in the same situation. And I don't know if I would put Zion Williamson out there if I am not comfortable, even if he's cleared medically from a foot standpoint, of where he is, from a fitness standpoint.
Right. No, it's the full package. And it's too bad because when he came into the league, this guy was an immediate rock star, superstar, must-see TV. I think they adjusted the bubble playoffs and the whole setup down there effectively to make sure New Orleans was in it so Zion could play. And now it's just like the league keeps moving on, man. And you got to keep up, and you got to perform. And it can't just be a couple of games here or there. And I'm worried about the guy. I am. I'm worried about his status and where New Orleans takes it. And I have to believe, Bobby, the rest of the league is, like, in terms of the owners, Adam Silver, ESPN, because this guy was a cash cow, Nike, et cetera.
The league needs, for New Orleans to be successful, they need Zion Williamson
right
to play and play at a high level, or they're going to be, what are they, 6-18, just there, right?
Yeah. I mean, dead last in the West.
Yeah, and the hard part with the Pelicans, too, is that it's kind of exposed them missing out on some recent draft picks, not Brandon Ingram trade, but they haven't hit on some of those guys that were part of, with Zion or the draft class before, the guys that got in that Laker trade with Anthony Davis here. It's kind of, they've been mediocre here, and they're certainly a lottery team. They were a lottery team with Zion, but a competitive lottery team, and now they're really stuck in the bottom.
Always great catching up with you, Bobby. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Bobby Marks of ESPN joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
I don't think the lead needs Zion. That market needs Zion. Like, what does the lead need Zion for? They got LeBron. They got Steph Curry.
Yeah, but it's always about that next wave, right? It's always about, like, Zion Williamson, first overall, out of Duke. The guy was a household name before he stepped into the NBA. That's
I get it. I get it. But the league isn't going to, just say, oh, God, if we don't have this guy. Like,
no, of course not. No, the league moves on. Everyone,
of course. Jordan, and there'll be another somebody else that steps in his place. That market needs him.
Yes.
Because they got nothing. But that right there is not a man that can play a professional sporting event.
That's not even close. I'm sorry, and I know it's judging a book by its cover, but there's a reason it's a tracksuit and not a suit or something like that's built for comfort at the game. He is really out of shape, Zion Williamson.
Yeah, and I don't know. There's a machine you can use your arms with. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, the rowing machine?
No, it's not a rowing machine. It's just you sit on your ass, and when you have a foot injury, you have to just pedal with your arms like this, and it kills you. Paul Maurice was so pissed off at me in Winnipeg. My foot continued to get hurt. I mean, I heard it in a restaurant the second time. I never told him that. But he made me go out in the hallway in Winnipeg and sit on the floor with a bicycle, and I had to pedal the pedals with my hands on the bicycle while people were walking by. It was so embarrassing. I'm like, I'm sitting on the floor of the corridor in the old Winnipeg Arena, and I'm pedaling a bike with my arms.
That's no way to treat a pro wrestler. No way to treat
some guy sent me a tweet and says, you're like some Randy Orton guy. It was just ridiculous.
There's some beauties out there.